You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come to feel what you need when what you really want inside. You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather was accommodating for you to do it, but of course, if it is not, but you got to get it done, then you will get it done, regardless of the heat or any other inclement weather, as you see across this country and literally around this world. Man, this is the new normal, family, the new normal. Right now here in Atlanta, it's already damn near 90. It's crazy. You're listening to the African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific. Any other time around the world, but if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. The first thing on it, African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. But if you want to listen to this program live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, just go to timeforanawakening.com. On the right side of the page, you'll see the link, and click on that, and then there will be, if it's 11 a.m. on a Monday, Wednesday, or a Friday, you'll get this program. Yeah. So the bottom line is, family, you don't have to go to TuneIn. But if you want to go to TuneIn, because there's a lot of good programs. There's Carl Nelson's program. There's programs from your location, from your former location. If, like for me, I'm in Atlanta, but I'm from Milwaukee. I still listen to WNOV and other programs in Milwaukee. So just go to TuneIn. But if you want to listen to this program, don't go to TuneIn, because why? They'll be bombarded with commercials. But if you go to timeforanawakening.com, no commercial interruptions. All right, this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programming we have on this station, we have on Thursdays from 8 to 10, Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club on Thursdays. There's nothing happening. You know, I looked at my old lineup, not mine, but the lineup of Time for an Awakening. When this program was on a Monday, Acres of Diamonds was in the evening. Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Cambon and her daughter, Nataki Cambon. Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. And then on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank, Dr. William Rogers. Thursdays, there was After 7 with Shani B. But of course now it's 8 to 10 with the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move with Patrick Lumumba. On Fridays, it's been this way all the time, from 8 until, because he doesn't go off at 10, he's sometimes a little later, but from 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, Black Sister Talk with LaWanda Chambers was 4 to 6, and then from 7 to 9, they sank. Still, that program is no more, but still, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine.
And then Sunday, once again, at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And, of course, if you want to listen to other programming and you want to use a shortcut that you don't want to use Time for an Awakening, you just go to any search engine, put in the search, babaoshi.net, B-A-B-A-O-S-H-I.net, and there will be programs that are dated and titled, thanks to my good brother and friend, Brother Kwaku. Ah, yes. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Taihemba, is going to be leaving very shortly, July 11th to the 23rd, going to Ghana. Then November 20th to December 2nd, going to Kemet. Then December 24th to January 4th, 2025, going to Azania. Then April 4th to April 14th, 2025, Kenya. Then May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. Then November 21st to December 1st, 2025, Brazil. Those are the trips that he has planned. I'm quite sure there'll be more. He'll add more as he always has. And he's on it. Brother Bamani Taihemba, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bamani2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Ah, yes. Habashah. Habashahincorporated.org. Habashah stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And the great programs that Habashah initiates, the Habashah Works program, all kinds of good stuff. They have a bazaar, a fest, October 12th, and I'll give you more information on that. The Habashah Works program and the things that they have here in Atlanta, which is Habashah Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. And it was a pleasure to go to their program, awards program, at the Art Exchange with Brother Kenneth Zaki, my good friend, Brother Kenneth Zaki. So, Habashah Incorporated.org. The Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development Group Economics. They have 12 projects at 6 different countries on the continent, with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, they deal in the area of necessity, of essentials, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. The Ledge Program, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan, who is doing great work in the country of East Africa and Kenya. But you can go to his website, theministerofwellness.com, theministerofwellness.com, to check him out. Brother Jabril with SMI Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY, SMI Pharmacy. If you want to give Brother Jabril a call, call him at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751, the Minister of Wellness. Slap me, somebody. So, yeah, that's what I get for looking away. This is SMI Pharmacy with Brother Jabril, 770-765-7751. And if you want to go drop him an email, go to smifarmacy@gmail.com, SMAIFARMACY@gmail.com. Damn. Clean water. Access saves lives. If you got access to clean, see, the problem is, it's not that there's a shortage of water, because there's water all around us. The brother has developed the atmospheric water generating technology to provide water, sanitation, and hygiene. So water's all around us, but it's access to that water. That's the bottom line. And what Brother Moses West has done to develop a machine that extracts the water molecule, the H2O, out of the atmosphere. Even though there might be contaminants in the atmosphere, it only deals with the H2O molecule, kicks all that other bull to the curb. And it goes through that filterization process, and out comes clean drinking water. Clean, drinkable, usable water. The Moses West Foundation. As, like I said, we highlight that only because it's vital. And all the other things I've announced are vital. Yes. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta. The West End is on Ralph David Abernathy East Expressway. Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar with delicious, smoothies, pastries, dry goods, all kind of good stuff, and vegan dinners on Saturday and Sunday. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. The Meddu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. In fact, one of the people that works with Mama Nia is Dr. Heru. He'll be my guest next Monday. Now, I'm very excited about you know, listening to this brother. He's just dynamite, Dr. Heru. In fact, last Sunday when we were at the Black Dot for Baba Baruti's presentation on Dr. Amos Wilson, Brother Heru was there, and Mama Marimba, and they connected. He had been trying to catch up with Mama Marimba, and they connected beautifully. So, Brother Dr. Heather Rue, next week on Monday, will be our guest. I'm going to try to have a guest on Monday and any other day, too, that I think that I can have a guest. You know, sometimes people say that, and then they think, I know, and they kind of cancel. But that happens. It happens. But anyway, the Meddu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Meddu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar located on Lithonia, that is east of Atlanta. Jump on I-20, head east, exit 74, make a left, and now you're headed north on Main Street in Lithonia. On the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Check them out, and or give Brother Gazemde Ajamu a call at 770-305-6373, 770-305-6373. Jump back in your ride and head back the opposite direction, which is now south, and then make a left again. Now you're headed east again. But this time, just exit, the next exit, exit 75. Turner Hill Road, make a right, and three lights make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa, every Thursday night, that Thursday night broadcast on blogtalkradio.com/ULU, blogtalkradio.com. But if you want to call in, you can do so at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. You can call in to listen, or you can give questions, comments, or concerns. That's from 9 to 10 on Thursday nights. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People. The Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, not open on Mondays, but Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah's got it going on. He's got all kinds of stuff. He's got furniture. He's got clothing. He's got incense. He's got jewelry. He even has vegan restaurants on the premises. So check out Brother Abijah in. So if you're in the Macon area, check him out. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon. Africa must unite. Ashe. So give him a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Sun God Essentia, one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Give my sister Shelly Amundsen a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404 334-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. And Sanjay-Haiti with Sister Gabby. Check it out, brothers and sisters. Go online to Sanjay, Sonje-Haiti. That's how you pronounce Haiti. It ain't Haiti. I'm pronouncing Haiti. It's Haiti. AYITI.org. Sonje-Haiti. All right, family. Baba Baruti, Mama Yah. What they're doing with the Akabin Institute, with our children. They're doing all kind of good stuff, you know. And they deserve to be supported. Go to Akabin Institute to give your donations. You want to use PayPal? Okay, you can use PayPal. And put in the her Mama Yah's YAA Baruti, Baruti dot Yahoo. Okay? At Yahoo. Not dot. At Yahoo. Or you can use Cash App. $ Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, to make your donations. And they're truly appreciated, and all of them are accepted and pleased. All right? All right. The Inyasasim, Baba Rudy's daily, the calendar of revolutionary daily thoughts. The Inyasasim. This is, I'm still reading from volume 2. I'll read from volume 2 till the end of the year, then I'll go back to volume 1, unless Baba Baruti makes a volume 3. But it's just good wisdom and good narration. Okay. June 30th. The struggle is eternal. The people increases. Somebody else carries it on. Ella Baker, great organizer. Sister Ella Baker. There are self-evident acelic and cultural differences between Africans and Yorugu. We were brought here to improve the quality of life on the planet, to create and nurture happiness. Yorugu are here for individual gain, regardless of what that does to the planet and all life as we know it. And their awareness of what this may reveal about them causes them to do this under the guise of helping humanity. That said, given the historical turn of events leading up to and solidifying Yorugu's control over the global reality, what is this spiritually directed warrior's role? In that spirit directs them to leave the world better than it was when they arrived. The only possible way to bring themselves, our people, and the world fully in line with the non-contradictory clear words and practices of our ancestors is to correct the damage. There should be no question in their minds that in order to leave the world better than before, we must do the work of removing the bad and replacing it with the good. Collectively, historically, all warriors have been sharers, learning everything knowledgeable and giving all they learn to those in need. Collectively, historically, collectively, they were healers searching to find all bad and burn it, and all good and distribute it better and further. To move without doubt, warriors must know that they have been brought into this healing direction not only because they can feel, but also because at the same level of intensity, they feel the need to do something about our situation that will permanently correct the problem at its source. And that is what Yorugu fears most. Ashe. Affirm, I carry on. Affirm, I carry on. July 1st. Speak softly and carry a big stick. You will go far. Speak softly and carry a big ass stick. You will go far. A West African proverb. There are a great number of voices which regularly raise themselves from a mental side of merit, but only when they have something negatively to say about Africans. And these whining voices are loudest when they are baselessly whining voices are loudest when they're basically critiquing Africans who are trying to be African despite the flaws that have been forced on us through subsisting in this sea of insanity. It makes one wonder just how many of us live such miserable, nitpicking lives that all we can do is think about is how to make our Africans feel as wretched as they do. Misery loves company, y'all. Individuals who waste so much time collecting misery must live such little, sad, lonely lives. Some of us were brought up to appreciate the fact that talk is cheap. It is something any fool can do. Some even mastering it exceptionally. Any fool can do it. Some even mastering it exceptionally well. In various ways, we were instructed to shut up or do something about whatever it is any given problem was. We came to understand that correction was the only meaningful response of intelligent, responsible people to issue which stood in our way. Sadly, those who believe that the revolution is an endless debate, that a belated vigil is enough to protect everything in a community under relentless, devastating assault, that sovereignty is is an online conversation, do not seem to have the ability to grasp this simple fact. Unless your highest aspirations is to serve Urugu and is limited to the simple egotistic manipulation of other Africans, just how strong could your argument possibly be if you're incapable of enforcing it? Warriors work more than their mouths. Ashe. Affirm, I am humbled but cautious. Affirm, I am humbled but cautious. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Ashe. Ashe, ashe, ashe. I want to thank my dear friend. And she sent me a piece on the Supreme Court. The decision was made. And so we're going to talk about that in a minute. Yeah, the decision was made on immunity. And they granted that. That's not a surprise. Brother, this is a handpicked Supreme Court by this asshole. And so it's not a surprise that he got something out of it, you know. But we're going to talk about that in a minute. But I want to look at something else that I just want to talk about. And so I'm going to talk about the Supreme Court's power grab and regulatory oversight and what they did about the question of immunity. Yeah, so I'm going to talk about that. But I'm going to talk about, God damn it. Damn that I hate Facebook. If you go away from Facebook and you come back to it, it'll automatically change. And so what I wanted to read was about, Man. I got a remedy for this. I'm going to try something else next time. Jesus. Man, oh man, oh man. So, okay, yeah, I lost it. Well, family, now we know, right? Okay, so let's do this. Let's begin to talk about the Supreme Court, or the not so Supreme Court of the United Snakes, of the United Snakes of America. Brother Mickey Dean of the National Black United Front, Kansas City chapter, who was on the program a couple weeks ago. Sent me, he sends all kinds of good stuff out. This is The Intercept. The Supreme Court's latest power grab, regulatory oversight. The Supreme Court's conservative bloc advances a key aim of Project 25. Remember, family, I talked about Project 25, 2025, Project 2025, and their manifesto, deconstruct the administrative state. You know, they, you know what, if Trump is elected, if he is elected, he'll be very instrumental in the Supreme Court in administering the 2025 manifesto. And if you don't know what it is, go look it up. You can get it out of, go to YouTube, put it in, or go to some, you know, whatever you do on your computer, 2025. And basically what 2025 is talking about is a takeover and the implementation of some very draconian ass laws and rules and so forth. And there are going to be things that are in there that will strike down things that have assisted us and so forth. So it ain't happening. So I ain't saying anything happening like that because we're going to defeat it. No, I'm saying it ain't happening because we ain't going to do nothing about it. And it's going to happen. This week, the Supreme Court truly delivered when it comes to hobbling oversight over securities fraud, pollution, and other regulatory matters. In two key decisions, the conservative majority cast doubt on some regulatory agencies' most important oversight mechanisms and tossed a longstanding doctrine about their authority to interpret legal questions within their specialized lanes. See, what it's saying, they're specialized, but they're going to do it all. This Supreme Court was made. In fact, if anybody's out there knows how John Roberts became the Chief Justice, give me a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. And tell me over the air, how did John Roberts become Chief Justice? He was appointed by Bush, the younger Bush, I believe. He was appointed by, and in his appointment, he ascended to that position. How in the hell can I appoint this cat and right away he becomes the Chief Justice? Now, well, I just threw that out there. Help me if you can. Together, these rules further one of the primary directives of the conservative legal movement enshrined in the Project 2025 manifesto. Deconstruct the administrative state. The decision also further consolidates authority within the federal judiciary. In the first decision, the Securities and Exchange Commission versus Jersky issued Thursday, the conservative majority undercut oversight agencies' ability to issue fines and penalties through specialized administrative proceedings instead of backlog federal courts. In the second, Loper Bright Enterprises versus Raimondo issued Friday, the conservative majority struck down a landmark decision about regulatory's role in interpreting the law. Writing for the dissenting liberal justices, in Loper Bright, Justice Elaine Kagan paired the two decisions as showing the court's resolve to roll back agency authority despite congressional direction to the contrary, as well as the conservative majority's eagerness to jettison settled law like Roe versus Wade. Allison Zier, litigation director at the watchdog Public Citizen, said the decisions were a power grab. Like the Jersky decision from yesterday, today's decision increases the court's authority at the expense of the two other branches. So the president and all they can make these decisions through the Supreme Court and have the Supreme Court initiate them into law against the Congress, against the Senate. Chief Justice Roberts wrote both decisions, and in both, the conservative majority followed the path urged by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and conservative advocacy organizations like America First Policy Institute. Earlier this term, over the howling objections of Chief Justice Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas, the court stopped short of holding that an entire oversight agency, the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, was unconstitutional by design. Instead, the conservative majority, in taking the tack of hamstringing regulators, the Security and Exchange Commission's decision eliminates one of the enforcement mechanisms Congress created in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis. In the Dodd-Frank Act, passed in 2010, Congress authorized the Security and Exchange Commission to impose civil penalties against fraudsters through the administrative hearings and instead of a full-fledged federal trial. The Supreme Court ruled that this mechanism violated the constitutional rights of the plaintiffs, a hedge fund manager and his firm, to a jury trial. Do what they want. They do what the hell they want to do, family. That's what I've been saying. They do what the hell they want to do. Yeah. The ruling has implications far beyond the Security Exchange Commission. As Justice Sonia Sotomayor writing for the three liberal dissenters, pointed out, see, that's what I'm saying, this will follow that line and it gets, they'll just get dusted, because why? It's 6-3. It's 6-3. Even if Chief Justice acted as a moderate at one a couple of times in some of these cases, but that's still 5-4. Dast doubt or on similar administrative enforcement mechanisms at more than two dozen agencies, including the CFPB, Environmental Protection Agency, and the Food and Drug Administration. Today's ruling is part of a disconcerting trend, says Sotomayor, who wrote for the three liberal justices in her SEC dissent. When it comes to separation of powers, this court tells the American public and its coordinated branches that it knows best. So this conservative court says to the Congress and says to the Senate and says to the we know what's best. And we're going to implement that. The Loper-Bright case originated from a seemingly minor dispute over fishing regulations, but conservatives used it to challenge a key feature of oversight agencies, their role in interpreting the laws that they enforce. In 1976, decision revealed by conservatives Chevy versus Natural Resources Defense Council, the Supreme Court ruled that courts should defer to agencies responsible in interpretations of ambiguous statutes. The Chevron doctrine was an effort by the earlier Supreme Court and lower courts to respect the separation of powers. By respecting courts' decisions to regulate authority to agencies to implement regulatory statutes and not aggrandizing the role of the courts. On Friday, the conservative majority struck down the Chevron doctrine. In her dissent, Kagan flashed out how sprawling the effects would be. That rule has formed the backdrop against what Congress, courts, and agencies, as well as the regulated parties in the public, all have operated for decades. It has been applied in thousands of judicial decisions. It has become part of the warp and woof of modern government, supporting regulatory efforts of all kinds, to name a few, keeping air and water clean, food and drugs safe, and financial markets honest. The Loper-Bright majority ruled that prior to decisions that apply Chevron to question about the scope of the clean air and other laws are still good law for now. For now. This week's rulings set the table for the conservative challengers already making their way to the court, including attacks on National Labor Relations and the Federal Trade Commission. Taken together, these cases continue the pattern of the Supreme Court taking power for the federal judiciary away from the people who are accountable to elected officials, said Georgia State University law professor Eric Siegel. The justices are accountable to no one. And they have a lifetime appointment. They're accountable to no one with a lifetime appointment. And so now saying what I've just said about this, coupled with the decision that was done this morning. So if you are aware of what happened this morning at the Supreme Court, give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I want to truly thank my dear friend for her assistance. I appreciate it. Yeah. News alert, Supreme Court rules. Trump has limited, immunity in the January 6th case, jeopardizing trial before election. The Supreme Court ruled Monday that Donald Trump may claim immunity from criminal prosecution for some of the actions he took in the waning days of his presidency in a decision that will likely further delay a trial on the federal elections subversion charges pending against him. In the most closely watched case before the Supreme Court this year, the ruling rejects a decision from the federal appeals court in February that found Trump sorry about that. That found Trump ruled, rejects a decision from the federal appeals court in February that found Trump enjoyed no immunity at all for alleged crimes he committed during his presidency to reverse the 2020 rule, and which of course should have been. Because you've seen and you heard what he said to the Secretary of State of Georgia. I just want to find, openly. It's recorded. It's been played numerous times. Him trying to violate already what had been done in the state of Georgia. He wanted to help overturn that. And then what he did before. This is sad and sickening. February that found Trump enjoyed no immunity for alleged crimes he committed during his presidency to reverse the 2022 elections. We conclude that under our constitutional structure of separated powers, the nature of presidential power requires that a former president has some immunity from criminal prosecution for official acts during his tenure in office, said Chief Justice Roberts, who wrote in Monday's opinion. At least with respect to the president's exercise of his core constitutional powers. This immunity must be absolute. The president enjoys no immunity for his unofficial acts, and not everything the president does is official. The president is not above the law, Roberts wrote. Yeah, right. No, the President of the United States is not God. The President of the United States is not a king. The President of the United States is not a dictator. The President of the United States is a manager. The President of the United States is the person who runs the government with the assistance of the Congress, with the assistance of the Senate. These branches of government all have a responsibility. There's four branches of government. Well, actually three. There's executive, that's the president. judicial, that's the Supreme Court. And there's legislative, that's the Congress and the Senate. And they're all supposed to work in agreement. And if one steps out, they're gonna be dealt with. We have a caller. Brother Jay, what's up?
Yeah, what's happening?
How you doing?
Listen, yeah. Do you realize that black people, I'm only talking about black people because I don't care about the other races, to be very clear, are being dog walked slowly but surely, systematically back into slavery?
Give us your perspective.
Well, the reality is, just based on things that the Supreme Court is doing, like last Friday, I think they made a ruling in regards to homeless people.
Yeah.
So here now you have a situation to where as jobs ain't as plentiful as you think for black people, you know.
What you talking about? Jay, they got black jobs, man. There are black jobs.
You know, I have to laugh about that because Joy Reid did an excellent
job. Yeah, MSNBC, yeah.
In regards to black jobs, you know, because in the mind of the Neanderthal knuckle dragger Trump, black jobs are butlers, maids, cotton pickers. That's what black jobs are. Black jobs are jobs servicing the industry that he participates in, which is, as one would say, a glorified customer service. So we could start right there, because the reality is, in certain places, arbitrarily, if a police officer, a white racist Klansman police officer sees a black person out in the street or something of that nature and deems him to be homeless, he can now be ticketed. So whereby this homeless person who probably doesn't have a job can be ticketed, and once you accumulate so many tickets, then what they gonna do? They gonna put your black ass in jail. Now take into consideration the same thing in regards to if you're sleeping in your car. So that's just a smooth thing. Then you talk about this decision that was given today, which is, you know, typical of how you have to protect the so-called leader of the Klan, the so-called overseer of the Klan, to whereas when he gets back in the office, he can then go and do their thing. So whereby now you have a situation to where, as you talk about Project 2025, reality about Project 2025 is Democrats win certain more palatable mm-hmm. portions of that project will be implemented. If Fredo gets into office, then it'll be hard press implementation of Project 25. So in reality, ain't nobody getting away from it, and ain't nobody other than the knuckle draggers go win from it, you know? So you gotta pick your poison. But then when you look at it in other perspectives, where is the growth of black people in this country? Because where we're heading is in three directions as far as I'm looking at it. Genderless society, robotics, and AI. Now, in order to function in two of those forthcoming, as one would say, strangleholds of society, you have to have a certain degree of education and discipline and the ability to function within those parameters. Now, let's be honest with ourselves. Let's be very clear with ourselves. Black people ain't preparing their children for that. Some of us are. Some of us will have the skills to function in that element, bypassing the gender assignment. That you know, that's just gonna be a genderless society. There's not gonna be anything as you move forward talking about men, women, blah blah blah, this and that. It's gonna be just genderless. You know what I mean? This is why this whole transsexual agenda, LGBTQ freak nation agenda,
non-binary.
That's why it's been able to move. That's why it's been able to move forward.
Asexual.
Now I could go on and on, but let's deal with what has to become Black people's solution, because I got to say this before I give it to you. Black people don't want your ass over in Africa. I was talking with a brother today, earlier, chopping it up like we normally do. He was telling me about how his people in Ghana are coming back to America because of the manner in which the Ghanaian people are treating them. So that whole fantasy of going to Africa for sovereignty and all those other goodies, that's a wash. Okay, so
I totally disagree.
Well, you disagree with it because of the simple fact you respect the romanticism of it, and you believe that we could go back there and do certain things, but the practicality is, and the truthfulness that we sometimes don't want to accept, the Ghanaian people don't want your Black ass.
It is not just Ghana. It is Africa.
I'm talking about all African people.
You know?
I'm talking about Ghana specifically, but I'm talking about truthfully the continent. They don't respect us, but I don't want to get into that argument with you, because that's an argument that you first have to accept the fact that yes, there are people over there in Ghana right now who will come from America that, number one, is coming back here, and number two, is being mistreated by the Ghanaian people. And the reason why they're being mistreated is how most things are, the economic. But I want to talk about some solutions. Baba Baruti was on your program a couple of weeks ago. Baba Baruti basically said what we need to do. And as you analyze what Baba said, that's maybe one of the only ways we can move forward. And the way that you move forward is you got to come together in small groups, like-minded people, close shop, work together, and educate the babies. That's the only way it's going to be a survival. The best thing would be to do something like my good brother Kitty O'Diwali talks about on Living in Black, setting up Kuchi Chakalia villages. If I had a chance to do something, I would do something on the nature of coming together, creating a village, identifying an industry that we could collectively work together and create businesses to be able to sustain ourselves, something within the IT situation, maybe doing some cybersecurity or some other type of work within that industry, and then build it. Now, if you think that, let's say this, and use this as an example. Let's say that Fredo gets in the office and part of Project 2025, he's able to remove government workers. Ask yourself, and we're just losing small numbers on this, think about this. We're using 10 workers. We know it's going to be much, much more. But out of those 10 workers, how many of those 10 workers you think will be Black? Okay? And let's say if out of the 10, 5 are Black. Are Black people in a position to hire them? And is there anybody else who will hire them that will allow them to be able to sustain their life position that they're in right now? Think about it. Think about that. If you have thousands of black people being removed from their government jobs because they don't want to kiss the ring of the dictator, Fredo, you understand what I'm saying? Are black people in the position to hire them? Are there anything in place to allow them to keep that same lifestyle that they have through the United States government? Do you think private sector is going to take care of them? So what did that tell you, brother?
I understand what you're saying, Jay. We're in a very tenuous position, a very precarious position. And unfortunately, we don't have the leadership because we put so much stock into this BS. You know, we put so much belief that somehow these people will take care of us. Things might get bad, but they'll find ways through government programs to take care of us. That's not going to happen. Okay? It's not going to happen. That's why I keep talking about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. And you cannot do it here. It will not happen here, okay? Because the people here, if shit gets bad for the majority of Caucasians and they're still the majority people here, okay, then just like in times past, if there was some jobs to be had and we got some this, that, and then what happened? You got backlash. You always get backlash. You got backlash. I came on the fire department in the 70s, in the early 70s, when affirmative action was being implemented. Coming out of the 60s, when we burned shit down, when we rioted and so forth, programs were initiated, all kinds, you know, and educational programs, trade programs, the affirmative action programs for police departments, fire departments, and other government jobs.
Listen, the reality of what your earlier statement was in regards to not being able to do it here, where you may be missing your point is, I look at it this way. You got to do what the Hebrew Israelites do. That's the way you got to do it. If you think about going back home, I mean, even though you wouldn't probably do it in a religious
but
if you do it, you got to do it under those type of.
Well, let me say it this way.
Because the reality, you can't go. Let me just finish this, though. You can't go back to Africa as an individual and at this time and survive it because of the way that these Africans are treating us. So you have to have a collective group that have a common ideology and understand it in a brotherhood to be able to go over there to do anything.
Okay, now, I've let you talk, Jay. Let me finish. Okay, because I understand what you're saying, and that's what I'm talking about, Jay. That's what I'm talking about, brother. Okay? I understand. I'm not naive. This is very difficult because Urugu has whitewashed the world, and particularly Africans, because why? They want to keep Africa poor so they can continue to take Africa's resources. They want to keep Africans at each other, divide and conquer. They want to make sure that Africans don't understand how important it is that we begin to close ranks, pull resources, and do for ourselves. Okay? They understand that. And what I'm saying, there's an element there as well as here in other parts of the diaspora that understand that we must go home, that we must close ranks, that we must move out from wherever we are. Because everywhere we are, Jay, as you know, we dogged out. It don't make no damn difference. We're relegated to the bottom rung of the social economic ladder. We're relegated to subservient positions. And I'm saying that for us, this shit must stop. that we must come together and understand this. And it cannot happen here. It cannot happen in the Caribbean. It cannot happen in Central South America. It cannot happen in Europe. It cannot happen in China, whatever other places that we are. It must happen on the continent. And it must happen now. That's why Mama Nabantu and the Pan-African Federalist Movement is so vitally important. And yet, still, we're not grasping it, because particularly us here, because we still believe. Say what?
Did they get any land yet?
Who got land?
No, I'm asking you, did the Federalist Society?
They're not after land yet? No, Jay, then you need to find out what the Pan-African Federalist Movement is about, okay? Do that. Contact them. Go to their website. Find out what they're about, okay? Because the land is there, and the land is with the people. This ain't about Africans. Hold on, Jay. This is not about just some American Africans going over and getting some land. This is about American Africans, Africans on the continent, Africans in the diaspora coming together to manage the land. This ain't nothing about we gonna do this. Just like the Black Hebrew Israelites, they went over first to Liberia, then they moved from there to Israel, and the Israeli government gave them a little plot of land in Dimona, Israel, and that's all they got, and that's all they gonna get, and they don't affect the Israeli government at all. They're not consulted. They're not part of it. It's just this little group of American Africans who call themselves Black Hebrew Israelites that have that plot of land. That's it. So I'm saying to you, Jay, for us as African people, the move to self-sufficiency, the move to independence and liberation, the move to sovereignty, that's the move. Either we're going to do it, as the saying of this program is, it's Pan-Africanism or we'll perish. Either we unify or we die.
Well, if you do it, don't you have to have one important thing? Cooperation from the African on the continent?
Of course.
Doesn't he have to embrace and incorporate you into his society?
That is a melody. Yes.
If you look at what's going on now, do you think we deserve or we should embrace the behavior of the Ghanaian people towards us? Should we
let me say this, Jay. Let me say this, Jay. There's all kinds of mindsets on the continent. But there is a liberation mindset on the continent as well. There's capitalism, there's Negroism, all kinds of on the continent as well as here, as well as this country and other parts of the diaspora. I'm saying we're elevating the mindset of sovereignty. We're elevating the mindset of African people doing for themselves and controlling their resources. That's what I'm saying, Jay. And I'm saying... we're going to end this conversation because there's other callers. So, again, I don't want to further this debate with you, but the bottom line is...
It's not really furthering a debate because it's a continuous discussion, but the reality is one must be honest and practical in what our situation is as we move forward and to understand the present danger that we in and we face
What I'm saying is the bottom line is I don't even want to hear that shit. The bottom line is either we close ranks and do for ourselves, or we're going to perish. Mama Nabantu, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How is everybody?
We're doing well.
Wonderful. It's been a while since I've had a chance to listen to you. Yeah, so glad to be here.
Thank you. I'm so glad that you are. And so I'm arguing the position of the Pan-African Federalist Movement as it relates to us coming together as African people, no matter where we are, to control our land, to control our resources, to be a people who are players in the world instead of the pawns that we've become. So that's my argument, and my good brother Jay, he ain't getting it. But that's okay. But that's okay, you know.
It would be great if we had total control of our resources, and wherever we are on the planet, we'd be able to decide who the presidents are going to be in each of those countries and whatever country we choose in the diaspora to be part of the United African States. It's going to be a long journey. I know that.
Yes.
Because there's so many things going on right now with Niger and also with the other countries.
Sure. Burkina Faso. There's a number of places, in particularly in West Africa, that there are issues. Yes.
And you're coming down to try to fight to keep the colonist idea of controlling Niger and all of that. Mm-hmm. So it's a long struggle just trying to convince these leaders that we don't need Kenya to be in battle with Niger or any other country. We don't need our countries fighting each other. And so I don't know what leader can get to them to get them to understand the history behind this and to not let this happen. Especially, you know, they want the money, and I know that they're scraping for money, and they get paid very well to come down and fight.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
a situation.
So anyway, I'm going to take a break. Stay, hang on, Mama Nabantu. When I come back from the break, I'll let you speak some more, and then I've got some other folks on the line. I got brother Paul on the line, and brother Jay Holding, and another brother Holding. So we'll be right back. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie. On Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Something you said got a grip on my heart, going out of my head. It's the way that you are. It's the things that you do. Whatever you need. If only you knew I'm happier than sunshine. Always a reason. If it's only a dream, then I'm dreaming my life away. Wherever you are, we couldn't get any closer. You're so leading my thoughts astray. Other days, other lives disappear in my mind. Other days, other times disappear out of sight. Other days, other lives disappear in my mind. Other days, other times disappear out of sight. Happier than sunshine. Happier than sunshine on a lazy day. I was only dreaming. Happy when I'm dreaming. I was only dreaming.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Yeah. I tell you, I love it.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
I say. Yeah. Time for an awakening. And that's what time it is. So, I'm going to get back to the phone lines and get back to Mama Mbantu, finish our conversation on the importance of the Pan-African Federalist Movement and what it is about. You know, understand that the Pan-African Federalist Movement is about Africans on the continent and Africans throughout the diaspora, realizing that we must have some functional unity as African people, not Ghanaians, not Nigerians, not Cameroonians, not Kenyans, not Tanzanians, Africans. When we talk about this, we are African. That's why I continue to put, when I say Africans, I mean like here in America. We're American Africans. Africa is the noun. The word that goes in front of it describes what kind of African we are. Africa is the noun, and the prefix is the verb that describes the noun. So if I was in Brazil, I'd be Brazilian African. If I'm in the Caribbean, particularly in Cuba or Jamaica or Barbados, I'm Barbadoan African. We are Africans, and we must exercise that right to be who we are as African people. Because had we done that and understood that, we wouldn't be crying about any damn thing else. Because why? We know we have a landmass that has plentiful resources. We could feed the world. We could modernize it ourselves. We have plenty of jobs, so to speak. Everything would be in place for us. So let me grab a couple of these phone calls that are there. So leave people holding on. Let me get to Kevin. Brother Kevin, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing fine. First, you know, I was going out on the website because I would like to listen to this particular broadcast. So how soon will you have it on your podcast? Because I don't really see anything that's real current on your podcast.
On my podcast?
Oh. Yeah, let me look here.
Because if you go to Time for an Awakening,
right?
You know, if you go to Time for an Awakening and you at the top of the page, podcast programs, and when you hit that right. In the drop down, you see African Perspectives first. When you hit that, Brother Kwaku has put the latest programs on it.
Oh, okay, because I don't, yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and the latest one is like 412,
oh,
Brother Ie Kamati.
Yeah, no, it should be a lot more on podcast programs, and if not, I'll talk with Brother Kwaku to find out what has happened, because I know he puts those programs on. He hasn't done it in a while. He's been a little bit under the weather, so I'll check with him. But what we definitely may do is definitely put those most recent programs, even up to this point, on that. Okay?
Yeah, because the last one that was placed out there is 4/12/24.
Oh, okay. I'll check it out, Brother Kevin. Okay.
Okay. Because, like I said, I want to tune in. I don't really want to say anything today because, you know, I wasn't able to get in to listen to the conversation.
Okay.
And I wouldn't want to come into the middle.
Right.
And,
I agree.
You know, express things. But, you know, I was listening to Carl Nelson this morning. It was kind of interesting.
Who did Carl Nelson have on today?
On this what is his name? Boy. It's something when you start getting older.
Isn't it, man? I tell you. It is, man. It is.
He was the political science scientist out of California. Okay. Real animated brother.
Okay.
I know you probably heard him. He's been on Time for an Awakening several times.
Okay.
But I can't think of that brother's name right now.
How was the program, though? Was it good? Informative? On point?
It's good. You know, he talked about, you know, the Democratic and Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And some things that he says, I think, is a little bit kind of, he kind of goes back and forth on. But, you know, he has his perspective and very smart,
mm-hmm.
very smart brother. I think when he comes on Time for an Awakening, he has a different spiel than what he has on the Carl Nelson show.
Yeah, well, Carl Nelson's show is commercial. And Time for an Awakening.
I think he plays up to the audience.
Okay,
that
sure.
He has.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, but it was really, really good program
mm-hmm.
for you to, you know, think about where we are as a people in the dilemma. And basically, if you don't get anything out of what he
mm-hmm.
said, it's kind of like we're in a dilemma. Which way do we go?
Yeah.
You know, his take was that, you know, we go one way, but even in that, he was saying that, I'm just kind of saying from my perspective, that we're in a predicament to where we need to come together
mm-hmm.
so that we can take ourselves out of the situation of where we're in this pickle.
So he's calling for unity, too. So he's calling for unity. He's calling for collective unity.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. It's the only way. It's the only way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And because we're not unified,
mm-hmm.
and this, again, this is me saying this, not him, but I'm kind of, from my perspective, this is what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
This is my analysis. Because we're not unified, we find ourselves in a position where we have to choose one side or the other
mm-hmm.
or the lesser, or what we perceive the lesser of two evils.
Right.
But as you say, and as we're all saying, you know, we're going to have to unify and come together, put our differences aside, understand that we may not like one another, we may not necessarily agree, but we can agree on certain things that affect us all. And those things should be what drive us to come together, put our differences aside. And that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I agree.
Because I know that I'm not agree with what everyone says. I know, so I don't agree with things I did 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, you're right.
You
Same
know,
here.
As you mature and you become more knowledgeable, you shouldn't be where you were
right.
2, 3, 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be growing.
That's right.
You know? So right. anyway, but thank
right.
you for allowing me to come up. And yeah, if you can get that out there, I would certainly appreciate it because I want to go back and listen.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try my best to get him on by Wednesday. Okay. Wednesday's program. And Wednesday's program is my annual 4th of July program. The 4th of July. That's right.
Yeah.
All right, dear brother. Okay, Kev.
All right, peace Frederick.
Well, that's and I always play that too because that's a good piece, ain't it? What is this, your 4th of July to me?
Yeah.
All right, dear brother, peace to you.
All right, then.
All right, let me go back to Mama Nabantu. Mama Nabantu.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, once again, I'm talking about how important the Pan-African Federalist Movement is. And some of our listeners, I want to make clear about their position and why we must embrace it. Because it's not, you know, it's calling for the unification of African people globally. It's calling for the unification of African people on the continent, you know. So regardless of what country, you know, because we all understand and know that the boundary, when you look at the boundaries in the 54 so-called sovereign states on the continent, that was done at the Berlin Conference. Those boundaries don't mean shit. Okay? What needs to happen is that regardless of boundaries, the brothers and sisters on the continent need to pull close ranks and say, yes, I know I'm living here what is now called Cameroon, which of course means shrimp, but I'm a part of the African consciousness that is about independence, self-determination, and liberation. And that's what we need to deal with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Basically, we're trying to, if we were able to get to unite African states, we would globally unite in our sovereign African people and be masters of our own destiny. We'll be able to manage our affairs and deal with other global powers from a position of strength. And the biggest obstacle, as the brother said earlier, is the unity part. Trying to get our folks to unify is probably the most difficult part in this 2024 years and coming up. And trying to get our children, the next generation, to understand their history and understand why it's so important, because they're not thinking about none of this.
Right.
You know, getting the best shoes, dress, the next event. Then their minds are not even thinking about liberation at all. So we have it's a journey. And we said by 2030 that hopefully we'll have our people educated and understand.
That's five and a half years from now. Something monumental has to happen for us as African people to get us to get to that point with a mindset that speaks about unity, with a mindset that speaks about putting aside all petty differences and coming together to full resources. I mean, and what's going to happen? I'm optimistic. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is it doesn't look good, but I'm optimistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get, those questions that we ask on our call. Do we all believe that political unification of Africa is a matter of utmost urgency? Can we agree on that? Can we agree on what Kwame Nkrumah said, that it's clear that we must find an African solution to our problems that can only be found in African unity? Divided we're weak, united Africa could become one of the greatest forces of good of the world. Can they agree on that? Can they agree with what Jacques said when he said that African unity, he feels, will come from the base and develop as an undercurrent to the present political surreality and economic stagnancy rapid on our continent. We're talking about a bottom-up movement.
Yes.
And that means educating. Yes. And one thing I want to add is that Brother Sam Collins out of Washington, D.C., is doing a phenomenal job pulling together youth actually educating them. He's got study sessions, 6-week study sessions, 18-week study sessions that I'm going to be sitting in on myself beginning tonight. Mm-hmm. Every Monday he has a session.
Okay.
And it's to help our people understand, what do we mean by federalism? Mm-hmm. What do we mean by the United African States? What is that going to mean for us here in North America?
Mm-hmm.
So, and if people can understand that, then we can be closer to being unified on the same principles of what it's all about. So, I invite folks to check out his class.
I like to get Sam on the program to talk about it real soon. You know.
Oh yeah, you'd be willing to do that.
Yeah.
Because we also have to vet our people. We don't know when people sign a call and they automatically become a member. We don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have people go through a process so we'll know if these people are really just in there with their own, coming with their own agenda, or they're here to work with us, or they're here for, the purpose of the colonialists to spy on us.
Right, we sabotage. That can happen easily.
We got to have security on all bases, not just physical, but morally and, other ways. Through this technology that we have with AI coming in, and they're setting stuff up and talking about having meetings when we're not even scheduled to have a meeting. That happened to me at the Power Green Festival. Somebody from AI set up a meeting for our cook-off. Nobody had even asked them to do that and told them what time to come and when to be there, but it was the wrong day.
Mm.
So you know, we need to be very sophisticated around what this AI means as well, because it can be a thumb in our whole movement if we don't figure out how to make it work for us or make it not work for us.
That's right.
So,
all right.
We got to ask those questions. Do we agree with Malcolm X when he said African problems are our problems and our problems are African problems? Are we sick and tired of watching Africans being helpless? We got to do something about getting our folks educated around what is going on. There's a lot of internal stuff going on, and we know that. But if we can just agree on one thing and have a mindset for that, we have like over 1,000 people that signed a petition saying they believe in the idea, but the problem is the methodology. How are we going to get there? So the study sessions will help us to understand how we're going to get there.
Sure. All right, Mama Nabantu. Thank you so much, dear sister. Peace. Hotel.
Peace.
Brother Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Baba Ochi. And how are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Good to hear it. Good to hear it. And let's give thanks for life. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you for your support, and thank you for your taking up this position, Baba Ochi. You know, it's interesting listening to the conversation. Very interesting. You know, Baba Ochi, there's a saying they say, life is what you make it. Life is what you make it. So, you know, you've got this life, and then you make decisions on what you want to do. You can go with the narrative. You can go with the propaganda. You can go with the whatever they got. But at the end of the day, it's your life. It's what you choose. It's what you choose at the end of the day, what your focus is, what you pay attention to, because what you pay attention to becomes your reality or your reality. That's the truth. Because everything is energy. So if you give your energy to other people's narratives, surely they'll take control of you. They will. There's no doubt about it. You know, Baba Ochi, you know, I often say this, and the reason why I say this is not our language, because at the end of the day, we say things like, this is never going to happen. I mean, I'm not an expert on African languages, right? But I can imagine a people who lived among the wildest animals on the planet, lions, tiger, bears, whatever animal, who didn't lock them up in cages because they weren't frightened of them. They learned to live among them, yeah? Even learned to humble them. I see something on the internet when some Maasai's took food away from lions. It was amazing. They showed it and how they did it. Tricked the lions out of their food. This is how they lived. They didn't have words, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not giving you an exact science, but I see it from the evidence. They didn't have words like never. Them words didn't exist in their vocabulary. For a people who brought the whole world into civilization, yeah, they didn't have no words like never. So whenever I hear our people talk about never, I have to laugh, man, because I realize how much these people have indoctrinated our minds. They've got control over us. And they've done it through the language, because this is not our language.
Sure.
That's why
exactly.
We have these words. Oh, this is never going to happen. Oh, we're never going to do this. A true African. And, you know, you don't have to be born on the continent to be a true African. True African is born in your spirit.
Yes.
And you know what? You can even tell through people's words. They're not really true Africans. They've been so indoctrinated in their psyche that their words betray them. Their actual words betray them. You know that they're not true Africans. They haven't got that. You don't have words like never. There's no such word as in an African, a true African, like never. It just doesn't exist. You know, you're just going to roll with the punches. You're going to roll with the flow. And whatever happens, you're going to make it happen. Doesn't matter. You know, our history, your history on that continent, I mean, 400 years should show you being here, Baba Ochi, you being here should show you that you are a winner, you're a champion.
Mm-hmm.
If your ancestors would have said never, or just given in, or just go and hang themselves, you wouldn't be here.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
They had to survive no matter what, whether they had chains around their feet, chains around their neck, whether they were dragged across the sea for weeks and weeks, had not even a clue where they were going, yeah, beaten and tortured, murdered and raped, they had to get through. So we realize today, many of us have just been broken. We're just broken, man. We're so broken. We're just talking some nonsense, following other people's narrative. Oh, this devil has got a plan. He's got a plan. Oh, he's got a plan, so you're doomed to hell. He's got a plan, so you're doomed to hell. He's been carrying out this plan since he came into Africa, man. Let me tell you the plan he's been carrying out, the main plan. It's called the Bible. Huh? Mm-hmm. The main plan he's been carrying out is called the Bible. He brought the Bible and the gun into Africa, and he's been carrying out this plan. He got us so indoctrinated that we even regurgitating the same nonsense he put on us. And if it's not that nonsense, it's the nonsense the Arabs put on us we're carrying out, because we actually believe it's true. We don't even realize that they imposed it on our minds. They imposed it so they can control our minds. Okay? So a wake-up call. A wake-up call is to look in the mirror. This is the solution above all solutions. You mm-hmm. look in the mirror and realize, ask yourself a question. Who am I? And what is my purpose here? Is my purpose to listen to some devil of an idiot talking about he got a plan or they got a plan? Who cares who got a plan? Hitler had a plan. Mm. All of them had a plan. All of them had a damn plan. You understand? Mm-hmm. And they rolled it out. But hear what? We're still here. Okay? We're still here. So reality check is this, yeah? We got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of work to do. And you know this unity thing? I'm going to give you another wake-up call. This unity thing is not going to happen the way we think it's going to happen. Like we're going to sit down and we're going to sing Kumbaya and hope we're going to all come together. When the time comes, this is what's going to happen. Let me show you what's going to happen. When the time comes, because nothing happens before it's time. When the time comes, you ain't... Look, if some of us are still here, if we're still here, if I'm still here, you're not going to have no choice whether you're going to unify or not. Because the method of the... When people have had enough, when they've just had enough of it, then the force of nature takes over. They just had enough. And that's nature. If you even take a pussycat and put it in a corner and you keep prodding it, it's going to come at you. It's going to come at you. That's nature. That's how nature works. You prod it. So what these people do, they work psychology on us. They prod us slowly and then step away and give us the illusion that they're our friends. And if we vote or if we make a decision, they'll give us another choice. And then they start pushing again. You see what they're doing? It's implemental. They do it little by little by little, because they know if they come at you too hard, all hell gonna break loose. So some of what they're feeding you, majority of it, is propaganda. It's propaganda. And propaganda is the first stage of war. That's what war is. It's propaganda. So what they're waging is propaganda. And the purpose is to make you feel disenfranchised, is to make you feel hopeless, is to make you feel like there's no hope. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is never going to happen. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to have no choice. If we go to Africa, the Africans are going to beat us up. They're going to run us out. This is all this crap and nonsense. Mm-hmm. Nonsense. No one can speak for 5 people, let alone 10 people, let alone 1 billion people. No one can. You can only speak for yourself. If you're that frightened, take a seat in the corner, put your thumb in the mouth, and go to sleep. Because truthfully, we have some work to do.
Yes, we do.
And that's it.
That's it.
We have got work to do, Brother Oti. We got work to do. Yeah. That's it. And we're going to do the work. And the reality of it is, yeah, when the time comes, right, because none of us really know the time, they don't even know the time. They don't know the time, but they're very worried. They're very worried, mm-hmm. but they don't really know. And I tell you why they're worried. Let me tell you why they're worried. Because all their hocus pocus and fairy tales and all their systems of economics and social science, they're not working. It's not working. It's not working. Okay? Mm-hmm. And because they, the Europeans, have a God complex. They have a God complex. Mm-hmm. And that is their problem. Mm-hmm. They believe they are God. And... what they do is not working. So there is a contradiction in their minds. How comes we have all this technology, we have all these weapons of mass destruction, and we go into Afghanistan, we can't even beat them. We go into Vietnam, we can't even beat them. But we've got all these helicopters, we've got all these bullets, we've got all these trained soldiers, but we still can't beat them. That's a contradiction in their mind. They have a psychological breakdown because they don't get it, because they're not God. They've got a God complex, but they're not God. They understand. So the reality is, Baba Ochi, as simple as this. We have work to do.
Right.
We have work to fix. You know, before we can fix our brothers in Africa and we can complain about the rest
fix
of the world,
ourselves.
We've got to fix ourselves.
Fix ourselves.
Because our behavior, I'm going to say it again. I'm not going to stop saying it. Sometimes, and I'm telling you, I see it. Our behavior, oh my God, we've got a lot of work to do with ourselves, let alone talk about people overseas and this one and that one and the immigrants and all the rest of the crap, the bull crap right here. We have to look in the mirror and fix ourselves. We have to fix our health, because we eat anything like it's going out of fashion. Mm-hmm. Right, we smoke like smoking is an African thing. Smoking was never an African thing. We smoke because, like you say, one of these vices we can't get over, the white man's vice. Yeah, I'm going to remind you, and you're not going to like it, but it's the white man's vice you're so addicted to, just like you're addicted to white, and you're going to talk about everybody else. You need to fix yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. And once you fix yourself, then you can talk about fixing the rest of the world. And when I talk about you, I'm talking about me too. Yeah. Because we have to fix our mind, our body, and our soul.
I hear you, brother
Paul. And there it is. Because once we've got that sorted, we fix ourselves.
Listen.
We realize, we acknowledge that we ourselves may be the biggest problem. Okay?
Well,
nothing, there's no problems. Nothing we can't solve. Absolutely nothing.
I agree with you. Let me. I got a bunch of callers, Brother Paul. I appreciate you, man. Appreciate your contribution. Continue to listen. All right, dear brother. All right, Brother Paul. Brother Irv. Are you there?
Yeah. Baba Oshie, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Good morning, brother. Good morning. The callers are... They're fired up, man.
I know,
they're
man. Must be the 1st of July.
Hey, something in the water, brother.
Yeah.
Something in the water.
Yeah.
They're fired up. It seems like they wake up every morning with a whole new batch of energy to fight this fight.
Yeah.
That the struggle continues. And I understand that. And I understand the passion. And I know that everyone is not only just on this radio being radio revolutionaries, but they're actually doing things.
Sure.
You know, they're actually doing things to make it happen. And we're all getting to the same place. We're just taking different routes,
mm-hmm.
you know, slightly different routes, not drastically different routes. I just wanted to let the family know. I saw something on the internet today, this morning, Burkina Faso, which had a revolution and kicked the French out and the Americans out and try to get a better deal for themselves with whoever's going to align themselves mm-hmm. with them. They kicked out French television.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of French TV stations. But Baba Oshie, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna tell you why. Because we television is not entertainment. Television
is indoctrination.
Education.
Right.
And indoctrination. You're absolutely right. Indoctrination. And when you watch these little shows, I'm looking at Roland Martin, and he's talking about the cartoon, The Little Mermaid, and white people upset about the Little Mermaid is now a dark-skinned person, you know. And I could give a doo-doos about The Little Mermaid,
mm-hmm.
but because I'm educated and I'm conscious and I'm enlightened, but for some people, that's their education. That's where they get their self-esteem. That's where they look for some white people to tell them that they are, I am somebody.
Right.
And then they can start chanting and all that foolishness. But my thing is, we have to teach our own children.
Right.
And that sister was absolutely right that was on earlier. We have to teach our children, even if it's informal, we have to teach them. Mm-hmm. Deprogram them. When we say things like, we couldn't, I heard the brother say that we couldn't beat Afghanistan. My question to that is, who the hell is we? Afghanistan never called me the N-word. Mm-hmm. Afghanistan never did anything to me. You're talking about a people who are jumping up and down to go to Paris, France, to an Olympics, and they still have colonies in Africa, Baba Oshie. Come on now.
And who now has a fascist government.
Hello? Yeah. Hello? A right wing, if it wasn't, right, if the other one wasn't fascist enough, because I didn't see that, the government that was in there saying,
exactly,
pull out of Africa. Let's stop, leave these people alone. Let's stop taking their resources. No, you can't survive without Africa. And Africa is arming themselves now because they know what's coming. Because when white folks can't take something from you, I mean, when you can't give them something, they come and they take it, Baba Oshie.
They will take
it by force, and you ain't going to do a damn thing about it. And they got you over here worrying about Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Who gives a damn? Who gives a damn? Who cares? Yeah. But Carmella might be president. Hell, she's not. What is she going to do that Obama didn't do? She's not going to do anything, Baba Oshie. Mm-hmm. They're not going. If we're caught up in this savior complex. You know, white folks in a God complex. We in a savior complex. You know he coming back. Don't you know he coming back? He coming to help us. He coming to get us.
Yeah.
Who got you out of slavery? You did. I didn't see nobody. I ain't seen Nat Turner. Nobody come and get Nat Turner. I saw Nat Turner that was willing to die for what he believed in. They still talk about him. So he made a point. He made a difference.
He made ultimate sacrifice for sure.
Yes, correct. But we are dumb. We're docile people. Yeah. All we want to do is sit on the porch and sing songs and, you know, communicate with each other through the songs. But we don't want to fight nobody because, you know, we feel Negroes. Yeah. We ain't supposed to know what's going on. And we know more about what's going on than you do. Yeah. Black people study. People study each other, Baba Oshie. They study each other. Whoever you're around, you're going to study. If you have a mate, you're going to study that mate. And she's going to study you. So, no, we know just as much about white folks as they think they know about us. But what they don't realize is when that African in you comes forward and you say Africa first, you become a changed person. Like the Christians say, you've been born again. You understand that Africa is in you. You know, and if you want you, and once you realize what Africa is and start to learn about Africa, so that's what I'm doing. I'm reading books and I'm looking at listening to lectures, and I'm realizing that these people weren't swinging in trees. They weren't waiting for you, Tom. What goes around comes around. Every empire will fall. Every empire will rise. The United States is on a downward spiral now. And everybody knows it. Yep. You can look and tell. I mean, the white people are fighting white people. Come on now. The point I'm trying to say is we have to stay true to who we are. We have to, even though the road may be difficult. I know I'm sounding like Martin Luther King now. It may be difficult, but we're going to get there.
But listen, brother, I got a bunch of callers. Let me try to catch some more of these callers. Man, thank you, dear brother. I appreciate you, man.
Go ahead,
and let's talk about that date that we're going to extend the program, and me and you are going to be hosting. Okay, let's do
that. That'll be fantastic. We'll talk about that. Go ahead, get some other people up. Right. They may have something to say.
Peace.
All right.
Sister Habiya, quickly. I don't have much time, dear. Hello? Okay. Brother Lusk, how you doing, my brother? How you doing?
Good morning. Thanks for picking my call. Just listening and learning as always. Please feel free to check on other callers as well. We'll still tune in. Thank you.
All right. Peace, brother. Thank you. Sister Habi, are you there now?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. I'm just saying, enjoying the program and Free the Land. It's been really nice. And just wanted to say, there was talking to someone earlier that was making remarks that I found very divisive, that they're saying don't go to Africa because the Africans don't want you and they hate you and treat you bad. Well, I know that's a false narrative. Maybe something like you said, but when I go to Ghana, they welcome just to come home. It was so beautiful and wonderful. I mean, and we got Africans all over in this country that in United Snakes that love it over in Africa, that repatriated. I mean, there's a lot of in Nigeria. I, you know, friends are princesses. And then, can you hear me?
Sure, I can hear. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. And then in Tanzania, I would like us to get Baba Wekesa on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's showing the love and the unity and the building and the Pan-Africanism because they have a school that they have in Tanzania and a village. And I would love for him to come in and share some of those powerful Pan-African.
That would be great. I know Baba Wekesa, so I'd be honored to have him on the program.
So it's divisive. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's the device said don't go to Africa. That sounds like something that the Yoruba is putting people up to do. They just don't go there. It's just so terrible. There's places, like you said, that there's lots of love and unity and Pan-Africanism. So I just wanted to echo that.
All right, my sister. Thank you so much. Peace to
thank
you.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, we only have a couple more minutes, and I just wanted to say that I appreciate all those who called, all those who listened, and you know, the bottom line is this, family. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, for me, I'm going to be on this program, and that's what I'm going to espouse. I'm going to espouse unity, self-determination, liberation, sovereignty for African people in any possible way that we can do it. I believe that. My heart believes that. Yes, Brother Irv is right. We may not see it, and Brother Paul, we may not see it. It may not happen in our lifetime. And I understand that. But I just want to see the movement towards that. I want to see that we're going in that direction, that not all of us are so weak and feeble-minded that we can't visualize a unity of African people, that we can't visualize the continent controlling its resources and having people come there to do business justly, fairly, honestly, as opposed to manipulating us and ripping off our resources. It ain't happening no more. And so what the Pan-African Fellows Movement is doing, what Mama Nabantu talked about in terms of educating the young people, that's what has to happen. There are many young people. I mean, last night, BET was, I didn't watch it, but I read all the other things that happened with it. And then I did see a piece about little young people said, yes, we can. And that was nice. But the other stuff was a contradiction. The constant shaking your ass, the constant twerking, all the other negativity that comes out of BET, which of course is not controlled by us, not owned by us anymore. I'm saying, to me, if anybody presents anything that we don't really control and it has a negative imagery and a negative issue of African people, we need to call that into question. We need to control everything about African people. We do. And if it's not us, we need to expose it. So, family, I appreciate it. Appreciate the time. Appreciate all of you listening. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. He said, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it, damn it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep, that means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie, a Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. On Wednesday, we'll talk about the 4th of July. The 4th of July. Peace, family.